And so here we are in the midst of our seven-week program. We're on week two. And I'm going to be speaking for most of the series, speaking first and then having you experience what we're talking about following the talk. Because this is a very, as I said last week, it's a very experiential series. And so I want to start today with this Hindu legend that tells of a time when all humans were gods. But as the legend has it, they so abused their divinity that Brahma, the chief god, decided to take it away from humans and hide it where they would never find it again. But where to hide it became the big question. And so Brahma called in the lesser gods to consider this question. And they said, well, we will bury humans' divinity deep into the earth. But Brahma said, no, that will not do, for humans will dig deep down into the earth and find it. Well, then they said, well, we will sink humans' divinity into the deepest ocean. But again, Brahma replied, no, not there, for humans will eventually learn to dive into the deepest water, search out the ocean bed, and they will find it. Well, then the lesser god said, well, then we'll take it to the top of the highest mountain, and we'll hide it there. But again, Brahma replied, no, for humans will eventually climb every high mountain on earth, and they will be sure someday to find it and take it up again for themselves. And at that, the lesser gods gave up, and they concluded, we do not know where to hide it. For it seems there's no place on earth or in the sea that humans will not eventually reach. Then Brahma said, here is what we will do with it. We will hide human divinity deep down in humans themselves. They will never think to look for it there. And ever since then, legend concludes that humans have been going up and down the earth, climbing, digging, diving, exploring, searching for something that's already within themselves. So we've been looking in all the wrong places, haven't we? You know, we've been searching for something that is already within ourselves. So we don't have to go running to a sacred site or to, take a pilgrimage to a holy temple or go to India to sit at the feet of a guru. Yeah, we don't even have to run from class to class and workshop to workshop and teacher to teacher. Not even from church to church. Because what it is that we're looking for is deep within us. All we have to do is right where you are, sit down, go within, and enter that inner sanctuary that is within you and discover your own divinity. You know, be aware of it, celebrate it, welcome the beloved. For the beloved that is within you is just waiting to welcome you home to yourself, to your true self, to your higher self, to that divine essential self. And so as I said, we're in week two of this seven-week series, Birth 2012. And we're calling it co-creating a planetary shift. So we're calling this series Birth 2012. We're co-creating together this planetary shift. We are birthing ourselves as universal humans. And we are just celebrating that place within us that we know are divine. We're connecting with each other through the heart to all people everywhere, to the whole of life. And we are awakening from within, through this deep, deep heart's desire to share our gifts and to give our gifts into creating a new and better world. You know, we are awakening to something new that is stirring within us. And we are using and studying this book, Emergence, The Shift from Ego to Essence. And this is by Barbara Marks Hubbard, who was here just about a month ago and kind of kicked off this series. But this book is a step-by-step instruction for our emergence and for the emergence not only of ourselves but the emergence of the human race. This is not an intellectual study. We can do those all the time. But rather, this is a how-to, and that's why I say it's experiential. If you're doing the work, it'll make all the difference. And this book helps us. It's a guide that will help us to make that shift from our ego to our essential, true, spiritual self. Now, what you get out of this 7-week journey entirely depends on what you're willing to give to it. And so last week we began by talking about entering the inner sanctuary. That's the first place that we start. We create this field of readiness, and we begin to step into that feeling of the presence of our divine essence, our higher self, our true self, that the beloved. And so we create this place, we nurture it, so that we can step into this inner sanctuary and, you know, feeling loved, feeling our wholeness, feeling a great sense of awareness. And this is really kind of the overriding theme throughout our whole 7 weeks together. And this is one of the most important parts, and a big part of our 7-week experience together, is entering this inner sanctuary. Barbara Marks Hubbard writes, "In our infancy as universal humans, the self we are becoming aware of is the essential self, the higher self." And she goes on to say that now in this next step, we are ready to fully contemplate this essential self in its more personal form, the inner beloved. So last week we created the field. This week we step into knowing this essential self as the inner beloved, and bring our focus to the specific qualities and wisdom of this all-knowing inner presence. And so today what we're doing now is we're contemplating the glory of the beloved. We're welcoming the beloved into our full awareness. Now, sometimes we talk about listening to the voice of God as if God is an entity outside of us. You know, and we talk about communing with God, the Christ, the Buddha, or whatever you call it, the divine. But again, it's always seen as something outside of us, beyond and separate from us. But what Barbara is asking us to do is to allow this essential self to become you. That it's not something you're seeking out there, but you become it. You become aware of your higher self as you. You are it. It is you. And so you live in this presence. You listen from this essence. You speak as this voice. And you become and fall in love with this essence that is your true self. You are the beloved. You are it. How does that feel? Does that feel good? That you are the beloved that you've been looking for all these years, for your whole life, perhaps. Barbara writes, "I had never contemplated the actual presence of my higher self so that I could feel it, consume it, incorporate it in my flesh and bones, incarnate it until now. As I turned inward toward this presence, I began to experience a sense of homecoming, of peace and safety. And yet at the same time, I was filled with excitement and anticipation. I noticed the qualities of this beloved self who had been signaling me from afar for so long. She seemed to be myself, a magnificent presence. And what I now experienced was a full range of attractive and familiar qualities of the beloved that had only been flickering at the edges of my consciousness all these years." And so I just wanted to share with you an experience that I had, a personal experience that I had with the beloved. It was May 8th, 1991, at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon. I know exactly. I mean, I remember it as clear as if it happened this morning. And the interesting, well, it was just a few weeks before I was graduating from ministerial school. And the interesting thing was that I had been praying for several weeks to have a direct experience of God, to have a direct experience of the beloved. Before I graduated from school and before I went out to my first church, I wanted to have that really big, aha, grand, lightning bolt moment. So May 8th, 1991, at 1:30 in the afternoon, Bill and I are driving into Kansas City to an appointment. And we had two separate cars because Bill was going on to work after our appointment and I was coming home. And so it was a dreary day, rainy, sounds like the Pacific Northwest, but we were on some back roads behind Unity Village. If you've been there, you know there's some little back roads. And this one road that we were traveling on had just been tarred. And so with the rain and the drizzle and the tar, it was pretty slick. And so I'm coming down this little hill, and at the bottom was a curve, and I started going around the curve, and I felt my car kind of skidding. And I did what they always tell you not to do when you're skidding is what? Hit the brakes. I hit the brake. The front of the car stopped, but the backs continued going, and I started kind of spinning, kind of planing and spinning down the road. Now, luckily, no cars were coming the other way, and Bill's watching this whole thing unfold. So I'm spinning, and then all of a sudden, I kind of go to the other side of the road, my tires catch the other side of the road, and I felt my car beginning to rise, half of my car. And when I realized, oh my goodness, I am going to roll this car over. And so it began rolling over down the embankment into the cow pasture below. And so at that moment where my two passenger tires came up off the ground and I realized what was happening, I realized all was well. I wasn't scared. In fact, I felt safe and protected. And I had this deep sense of peace that filled my entire being. And as the car began to roll, my awareness, my consciousness pulled back into a little pinpoint of light, and I knew in that moment that whatever happened, it was okay. And not only that, I was fine. I was fine. Well, I ended up on the roof of my car with the wheels in the air at the bottom of this embankment. And do you know that I walked away from that experience? I climbed out of the car, the trunk of the car, and I walked away from that experience with glass shattered and without a scratch, a bump, or a bruise. Not even a black and blue mark where the seatbelt was. Nothing. I walked, and the police were on the scene pretty quickly, and I remember that this one policeman looked at me and he said, "You are a miracle." And I just looked at him and said, "I know. I know." May 8th, 1991, at 1:30 in the afternoon, I knew I was the Beloved. Not only the Beloved was with me, I was it. No separation. I knew from a very deep place of knowing who I was, and I felt this deep sense of love I had never felt before, and I intimately knew my radiant, fabulous, gorgeous, magnificent, higher true self. And it was glorious. It was glorious. Now, I wish I didn't have to do it that dramatically, but I seem to do. Cars are my teachers for some reason. I can tell you lots of experiences I had with my car, always alone. So you don't have to worry if you're driving with me. Never happened with anybody else. I've always done these are solo things. Solo learnings from me only. But in an online course that I'm taking with Barbara, the Emergence Advanced Training, she said this, and I loved it. She said, "So the glory of the Beloved, when you actually experience it, is like a flash of lightning of the divine presence that happens to be uniquely expressed as you, a bolt of lightning." I mean, I know I had that. She goes on to say, "And the remarkable part of this is we're somewhat used to seeing the glory expressed in larger contexts, in great beings, in great masters and teachers and geniuses, but you actually discover it in yourself and realize that it is you." Shifts everything. Everything, because whenever the local self feels a failure, feels inadequate, feels a struggle, the quick shift of attention to the essential beloved self realizes that this self is not a failure. It is not separated. But it is the glorious aspect of the process of creation as you. And the more you can put your attention on it, of course, the more it becomes you. And so as your experience of essence becomes more and more familiar by sitting in meditation, sitting in the quiet, sitting in the silence, you will fall more and more in love with this essence. And you will cherish this step of contemplating the beloved. You know, of imagining and feeling and sensing the very highest, radiant, self-luminous, wisest aspects of yourself, the person you were born to be. Jesus told us in so many words that there is a divine potential within us, a spark of divinity, what we in unity call the Christ consciousness, the Christ essence. And Jesus tapped into this divine potential, and he expressed it so completely that we didn't know where Jesus ended and God began. That's why he was able to say with great certainty, when you see me, you see the Father. When you see me, you see God. You know, the Father and I are one. We're like this. No separation. God and I are one. It's our basic, our second basic unity principle. It's the divinity of humankind. The divinity within all human beings, which goes on to state, every human being is an expression of the divine. The Christ Spirit dwells within all people. No separation. No difference. The divine presence is us. And that's what the word namaste means. Namaste, you've heard that. We say it to each other. It's an ancient Sanskrit word that means the divine in me blesses and honors the divine in you. The divinity within me acknowledges, loves, cherishes, and adores the divinity within you. The divine in me sees and knows and recognizes the divine in you. And that's how we begin our spiritual connection groups that are now meeting throughout this fall program. We have over 100 people signed up for spiritual connection groups. And this is how we start every single meeting, with the namaste greeting. The divinity within me acknowledges and loves the divinity within you. And so I want you to take a moment and turn to each other, turn to somebody near you and say, namaste. And you can use any version you want. You can use this one, just whatever. The divinity within me greets and loves the divinity within you. So take a moment and greet those on either side of you. Namaste. Divinity within me greets and loves the divinity within you. Namaste. And so Western, doesn't it feel good for the truth in you to meet the truth and see the truth in the other person? I mean, everyone has this spark of divinity. No one is without it. Now, does everybody acknowledge it and does everybody live with it, live according to it? No. No, but it's there, everyone. And the more you recognize it in yourself and in each other, the more we bring it forth. A Western journalist once asked Sai Baba, "Are you God?" And Sai Baba responded, "Yes, I am, and so are you. The only difference between you and me is that I know it, and you don't." That's it. You know? The great spiritual teachers, they know it, and they're trying to get us to get it. But it doesn't work by studying it. You've got to experience it. That's why I keep saying this is an experiential course that we're doing. And so do the work, do your reading, do the practices. Make sure you have the book. Get the study guide. You can download it off the website. And do this study, and it will make a huge difference in your life. So the goal over the next 7 weeks is to turn the attention away from the outer, separated, local, egoic self. You know, that gets so distracted by the world around, that has so much to do, and all this has to get done. you know, and then turn that the attention towards the inner presence, back to the essential self. So the key practice in this step is to spend as much time as possible contemplating the beloved. Sitting in the presence, looking at the qualities, you know, what are the qualities that you love most about it? You know, things like love, peace, joy, power, harmony, strength. You know, those qualities are present in the beloved, but the beloved is you. And so this is where you want to be living all the time. You know, as you're driving in your car, as you're cooking dinner, when you're at work, you want to be living in this presence. Because in unity, we know that whatever gets your attention gets you. Right? Whatever gets your attention gets you. It's our third unity principle, that what we focus on, we get more of. And so the more you can turn the focus of the local self onto the glory of the beloved, onto the essential, the radiant presence of the essential self, the more it will permeate your being and the less you'll focus on your problems. Now, just know that whatever it is that you're going through, you may not have consciously chosen it. But at a deeper level, it may not be perfect, but it perfects us as we face it. Because the inner beloved knows exactly, offers exactly the right response in any given situation, whatever it is. And we grow from it. We grow from it. And so what we focus on, we get more of. And so in meditation, I invite you to focus on the beloved, to focus on the inner essential self. You know, feel and sense your oneness and your wholeness. And whenever you feel yourself being pulled off center, being separated from this essential beloved self, and you'll know that when you feel tension or stress or anger, anxiety rising, fear, all that yucky stuff, you know you're separating from the beloved. All you do at that point is simple. Three steps. You stop. You breathe. And then you refocus on the beloved. So when you feel yourself going a little anxious, you just stop, take a few deep breaths, and refocus on the beloved. Be the director of your own attention. And let's do that now as we move into this time of meditation, where we now get an opportunity to experience the beloved. And so I invite you to close your eyes and open your heart as we prepare for this time with the beloved.
Spirit, I feel your
So I invite you to move within and become aware of your breath, breathing deeply and slowly and fully, and place your awareness in the area of your heart, and And just imagine breathing in and out through your heart. And taking three deep breaths, breathing in and out through your heart. Feeling the love in your heart awakening and expanding. And now bring to mind a situation in which you felt appreciation or love or kindness. It could also be a person you feel deep love and appreciation for. Your spouse, partner, your children, your friends. And as you breathe in, breathe that love into your being. Your body. Breathe it into your heart, into your consciousness. Breathing in that love and breathing out, sending your love into the world, immersed in an ocean of love. And as you rest now, one with your divine essence, immersed in this ocean of love, just become aware of the special qualities of your essential self that are most precious to you, that you love the most. Could be joy, peace, security, love, wholeness, wisdom, power. And just choose one quality and focus your attention on that quality. Attune to this quality, resonate with it, be it. No longer just thinking about it, but actually embodying it. As you contemplate the glory of the Beloved, claim this quality as your own, as you. And feel this quality, this aspect of your being taking root in you, illuminating and filling your whole being. And as we enter into the inner sanctuary, into this time of silence, know that this quality of essence is you. It's who you are. And your life is one with this quality of essence now. As we enter into the inner sanctuary, as we rest in the silence, as we rest in the Beloved. As we begin to bring this meditation to a close, just see if there's a gift or message from the Beloved, a symbol that represents your essence. It can be an image or a word or just a felt sense. And as we leave this inner sanctuary for now, know this divine presence, your essential self, the Beloved, is within you. It is you. And you carry it back. You bring that energy back into your life, that quality that you just became. Bring it to the here and now, to this moment. And for this time, for this experience of our true essential self, for the truth of who we are, the Beloved, we are grateful. With hearts overflowing with gratitude, we simply say, thank you. Thank you. And so it is. And we let it be. Amen.